Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Morning.
Good morning.
All right. So, last time I shared, I threatened that I would kind of finish up what I started last time, so that's what we're going to do. So I'll just pray real quick. Father, I just thank you for this time we get to come together in your name, in your glory. Just open our hearts and our minds just to receive everything that you have for us for today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last time I talked about believing and receiving. And I talked how it's almost like an electrical outlet. If you want to believe, you got to plug in. Just like a light, you want to turn a light on, you got to plug it in, and then to receive it, you got to flip that switch on. And then I talked a little bit about getting rid of all the junk that we get pumped into our lives. We pay big money to do this with our internet and our TVs and our cable. We probably spend several hundred dollars every month to get all this negativity and stuff just pumped into our homes. And I talked a little about Romans 10:17. So I'm going to share a little bit today that says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the opposite is also true. Unbelief comes by hearing everything contrary to the word of God. And then I talked about meditation and imagination, that we have to meditate in the word of God and then see ourselves in that. Okay. And then the last thing that I touched on, which I'm going to start with here a little bit, is I said that... I touched on miracles, and that miracles aren't God's best for our lives, okay? Miracles are necessary. We need miracles. We need miracles to get us through these certain times in our lives where we need this touch of God. But when we live from miracle to miracle, we live from a crisis to a crisis. And, you know, miracles were never God's way of provision. It was a supernatural way of getting us out of a crisis that's supposed to lead us into his blessing and into his arms. So, just a little side note that I wrote down. This is just the kind of the way that I think that when we receive a miracle, I believe it's given to us in an abundance. A healing is given to us in an abundance. Finances, you know, when we have a financial breakthrough, that blessing and that miracle is given to us in an abundance. And it almost kind of puts an anointing on us where now we're like the experts in that area. So now you have this miracle and you have an abundance of it that you can give to other people. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's just kind of how I think about things. Just studying the miracles and things like that, listening to different teachings, it was said that miracles are temporary. We're in this temporary situation that we need to get out of. And a miracle gets us out of that thing. And we need them. And they're necessary. But to live from that isn't living in God's best. Blessings are generational. So I just want to kind of talk a little bit about some examples that are in the Bible. Where Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt and the Red Sea is parted. Wonderful miracle. But it was to lead them into the blessing of God, into the promised land. They didn't get there right away, but it was supposed to get them out of that crisis. Pharaoh was chasing them with an army to destroy them and to kill them. God performs this miracle, gets them out of that crisis and into the blessing. Even with the manna was supposed to be temporary till they got to the promised land. It took them a long time. And they complained about the manna. And then they get into the promised land, the blessing of God, and then they complain that they didn't have it. It just, you know, what are you going to do, you know? Even we look at in Jesus. Jesus healed the sick. They were in a crisis. They were in a place that they needed healing. Whether their eyes were, you know, they were blind or they couldn't hear or they were paralyzed, they were in a crisis. And a lot of times when we read these things that, you know, when the paralyzed people were healed, they would jump up and they are full of joy and they were just praising God. You know, that's to lead them into that blessing. And the other one I want to talk about is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, there's no bigger crisis than being dead. You know, and he was already in his embalming strips of linen and all this stuff, and he walks out of a tomb back to life, and life is God's blessing. You know, God never intended us to live from that miracle to miracle, but he wants us to live in that blessing. So what's better than a divine provision? Divine prosperity. What's better than a divine healing? Walking in divine health. Right? So, as I was studying this out, what I was starting to understand actually comes from Romans 12:2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs." I'm reading the Amplified. "But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and in his purpose for you." We have to renew our minds with the word. Getting in the word and just renewing that and speaking those things over our lives. And I want to jump to 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, "For who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and his purposes." I believe when we tap into the mind of Christ, we tap into his thoughts and his purposes for our lives. And why is the mind so important? Your body will not and cannot sin unless your mind tells it to. All that stuff starts up here in our minds. And I have a few, actually just the one. Proverbs 3:13 says that, "Happy, blessed, considered fortunate, to be admired is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gains understanding and insight, learning from God's word and life's experiences." We have to renew our minds to have that mind of Christ. And we have to understand that we have a purpose in Christ. His purpose, and with his purpose comes the supply to complete everything that he has for us. And you know, when we aren't Christ minded, we are carnally minded. The word carnal comes from a Greek word that means meat. So we can either be Christ minded or we can be a meathead. So I just, you know, hey, don't be a meathead, right? So there's something that I have talked a little about before, where I kind of call it humble stupidity, where, and I don't want to call anybody stupid, but I know we've all said these things, but it's when we say and we think we're being humble, but it's actually stripping us from God's blessing. And one of the biggest examples that I hear is this, you know, "I just want God to supply my needs. That's all I need." You know, it sounds humble. We all say it. I just want my needs, you know, my family to be taken care of. But, you know, we don't serve a God that just supplies just your needs. We have a God that we serve that is pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. You know, that's the God that we serve. You know, he's already supplied us with every spiritual blessing. So where does our healing come from? The Spirit. Where does our provision come from? The Spirit. Where do breakthroughs and miracles come from? The Spirit. We've already been supplied every spiritual blessing. It's Ephesians 1:3. It says, "Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," past tense already, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. That sounds like a pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing God to me. So how do we press into that blessing? You know, it starts with the renewing of our minds, and then it comes by hearing. Again, in Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes from the preaching of the message concerning Christ." Here's my new word for the week. It's we need to marinate ourselves in the word. It just kind of fits with the food that we got going on today, right? We got to marinate in the Word of God. You know, when we marinate a steak, I don't suggest marinating steaks, but you marinate pork and chicken, but that's all good. But you put it in the spices, right? You know, steaks is a little salt, pepper, grill it up, you're good to go. So you know, you put the spices and you know, some olive oil, however you marinate. Whatever, you know, you like to use, but that soaks up all that flavor. It soaks up all those spices and all those really, really awesome things, and it, you know, tastes amazing. And we need to do that with ourselves, with the Word of God. You know, we need to listen to it and let all that truth soak into every part of who we are until we start to see it manifest in our lives. You know, we have all these options to do this these days. We have our phones, and we could just put our headphones on, and we can just listen to the Word of God and teachings and things like that all day long. We have different versions that we can read. You know, there's Hebrew versions if you like to do word studies. There's so many different things that we can just put these things on our head while we're working and just listen to the truth that comes from the Word of God all day long if we want to. Another way that I prefer to do it is when you get into your quiet place, you read the word out loud. So you're reading it and hearing it. You're speaking it and hearing it. And it's soaking all that stuff into us and that truth. You know, getting rid of all that junk, all that negativity, and even things that people say about you, just get rid of all of it and listen to what Jesus says about you.
You do it in the bathroom when you're showering, then it echoes.
Yeah. I have to try that. Do you have like a waterproof version of the Bible that you can, you know, read in the shower? Yeah. Okay. But it's an important thing to do. You know, we really need to get that into that word. There's, you know, and the next thing after, you know, soaking all that and reading it and listening and hearing it, we have to speak it. And it's a very important thing to speak the word. There's a lot that goes into speaking the word and seeing that word manifest. And the words that we speak are very, very important. And sometimes the words that we speak can kind of screw things up. You know, if we're constantly speaking negative things about somebody or about ourselves, when we're expecting God to move, there's a little bit of a conflict in our minds as to, is it really going to happen? Because we're always doing unbelief on this side, and then we expect this blessing and this miracle. There's a little bit of a conflict in being able to understand it and receive it into our lives. You know, if we're constantly saying bad things about our spouses, which I know we don't do, you know, or even our kids, you know, lazy, they're always on their phones, or you're speaking these types of things, that's what's being released into your family. That's what's being released into this world and into the communities. And it's kind of one of those things that just because it's in privacy doesn't mean that it doesn't carry somewhere else. You know, we can go to church and then we go home and speak all these curses and different things. And we might not even know that we're doing it. We might not even understand how important our words are. But, you know, we have to remember that everything that we know today was spoken. It was spoken into existence. Our life was spoken into existence. Sin was also spoken into existence. The serpent spoke to Adam and Eve. And he spoke about doubt and unbelief. And then we made that more important than God's word. You all right? It's kind of quiet.
We're pondering.
Yeah, good. John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. It is of no account. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, providing eternal life. When we aren't speaking life, we're speaking death." So I have a few proverbs that I'd like to go over right now, which is Proverbs 11:17. It says, "Merciful and generous man benefits his soul, for his behavior returns to him to bless him. But the cruel and callous man does himself harm." Now, if we speak cruel and callous over, you know, maybe some siblings that we don't necessarily get along with, you know, we're causing harm with our words, even if they don't hear them. In Proverbs 15:4, it says, "A soothing tongue speaks words that build up and encourage. It is a tree of life. But a perversive tongue, speaking words that overwhelm and depress, crushes the spirit." Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet and delightful to the soul and healing to the body." The words that we speak will create a life of Christ, a life of goodness, and a life of truth. And Proverbs 18:21 says, we all know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. You know, if we're having problems in our families, sometimes maybe we have to step back a little bit and see the words that we're speaking in our homes and wonder why, we're having relationship issues and things like that when we're speaking these negative things. That's what environment that you're creating. And when we speak the word of God over our lives, it will start to transform our minds to see ourselves as He sees us. My favorite psalm is Psalm 139. I'm going to read out of 14. It says, "I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." You know, when we start to speak things like this over our lives and over our children, and, you know, even people that we don't get along with, you know, we start to create a space for God to move. We speak His word, and His word is life and healing to the soul. When we speak the word of God, it becomes a seed to be planted in our hearts that releases His kingdom in us. And when we release the kingdom in us, we can release the kingdom around us. Let me see here. I think something got out of order. So it says, I'm not even sure where this is. Something got erased on my notes. Sorry about that. But it says, wherever this is, I forget. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put in it or put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into their barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass and the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them all." You know, when we seek him first, everything that we need is going to be given to us in abundance. And what happens when we look at all the things that worry us or cause us fear and anxiety and we are Christ-minded? All those things that create that negativity in us will be crushed, and what's left is God's covenant with us. A plan for a future and an expected end. The life that He created for us. So I'm gonna close with this. It says, I think as a society, and even as the body of Christ in some cases, and I'm not really saying us, but we have positioned and really poisoned ourselves to accept second best. You know, we were created to expect and live in God's best. God's best for us is what we ask for when we ask for revival. But revival isn't supposed to be a temporary thing or just a short period of time. You hear about all these wonderful revivals that have happened. Revival is really supposed to be the normal Christian way of life. It's not ever supposed to stop. And it says in Genesis, it says that we are made in His image. That we are created to reflect the One who created us. For the whole world to see it. To release the kingdom of heaven on earth. And to show the world that that is normal. So I have Genesis 12, 1-3. It says, Now the Lord had said to Abram, Go away from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you abundantly and make your name great, exalted, distinguished, and you shall be a blessing, a source of great good to others, and I will bless, do good for benefit those who bless you. And I will curse, that is, subject my wrath and judgment to the ones who curse, despises, dishonors, and contempt for you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You I will curse, I'm not sure. Something got goofed up. But when we renew our minds, we start to believe and understand that when we walk in God's best, we're blessed to be a blessing. That we can walk in the blessing of God that He created specifically for us. You know, I believe that we each have our own path and we each have that blessing. And it's not always going to be the same for everybody. You know, one way I started thinking about this, you know, like we accept second best or, you know, coming in anything less than God, than God's best and His first place. You know, Olympic athletes don't train 8 hours a day, 6 days a week, and just say, hey, top five is good. They're training to win. They're in it to win it. You know, if we have that same type of a mentality and not settle for anything less than God's best, it's going to change our lives. It's going to change our families, and it's going to change our communities. Because when we're walking in God's best, His blessing, and that means that we're close to Him. We're close enough to Him to feel His presence. We're close enough to hear His voice. We're close enough to sit at His feet and just be in awe of Him. If you'd like to stand, I'll pray. And then we can have some fellowship and second breakfast. Matthew 6, yeah. Thank you. Father, I just thank you. I just thank you that you are a God that wants to bless. And I just ask that you help us to understand that and to open our hearts, our ears, and our eyes to see it and to receive it and to accept it. We honor you. We love you. We ask you to join us today as we fellowship. I ask you bless this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.